the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Otto. Thank you so much for listening and for all the feedback. I appreciate it so much, and I keep saying it on other podcasts, but honestly, thank you so much. It's great to know that we're making changes in people's lives and people are actually taking advantage of the knowledge and implementing some of the things that they've learned during this podcast and actually getting great results from it. So that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Just one quick thing about that is if you think you're getting results off listening from a podcast, you should try the coaching. The coaching is just out of this world in terms of the results that we get for people. So in this podcast, I wanted to talk about this specifically and also about getting possession of a property, because this is, you know, this is a problem for a lot of landlords. And so we changed fundamentally how we do things. We do things way differently than everybody else. But I'm just going to talk about what the problem is and about what the existing solution is and how that's being changed. And then I will talk briefly about how we actually do it. So I want to talk to you about Section 21. So in the olden days, what we'd do is a Section 21 basically is a notice to leave. And so whenever a tenant moved into a new house, a new property, we'd actually get them to sign the notice to leave immediately. Because then that would mean, at least for the first 6 months, if it turns out that they're not very nice tenants and we want rid of them, at the end of the 6 months, we've already started the repossession procedure of that property using the Section 21. And so that was fine. But Section 21s are about to change. And so there's a couple of things. Like, if you haven't protected the deposit, then a Section 21 is invalid anyway. So, I mean, as it happens, we actually don't even take deposits anymore. Like, we stopped taking deposits. Isn't that crazy? When I told the guy from Mortgage Express, he nearly had a heart attack and fell off his chair. Like, how can you not take a deposit? And so this is why we don't take deposits. So, for example, on a property that's worth £400, a city centre studio flat in Leeds, we're getting £400 for it. And so we thought, let's not take a deposit, but let's put the rent up. So we put it up for £500. So think about this. The deposit that we'd get on a £400 a month flat would be what? £400? So, but because we've increased it to £500, it actually only takes us 4 months, because we're getting £100 extra per month. It only takes us 4 months to actually have the equivalent of a deposit. And the beautiful thing is, it's not a deposit, it's rent. What that means is we don't have to give that money back when that tenant moves out, because it's rent, not a deposit. It only takes us 4 months to break even on a deposit. Then people go, yeah, but what if your tenant does a runner? It's only £400. Like, we can cope with losing £400, because it doesn't happen very often, quite honestly. Maybe that's the way in which we reference tenants, or which isn't worth a paper it's written on either, by the way, if you're paying for referencing. This is my personal opinion, so use these bits of advice with caution, I would say. Get the correct legal advice and blah, blah, blah. I have to say that to protect myself. But we don't even do referencing anymore. We get a copy of a passport. By the way, when you get a copy of a passport, you get really good tenants, because those tenants that are not good, they don't want to give you passport numbers, date of births, and that sort of thing. We also ask them for a utility bill, and often we'll ask them for bank statements for the last 2 or 3 months, something like that, so we can see how they're managing their account. As soon as you get that information, any dodgy sort of tenants, they will give it to you. But any good tenants, they're like fine with that, because they don't want their credit rating to be affected. And obviously, when you've got passport numbers and that sort of thing, and date of births and full names, you can trace them so much easier using a tracing agency. So you just forget about it for 5 years, and then you pop your head up 5 years later and go after them then. Move it up to the High Court, and you've seen the Bailiff TV programme. Once it's at the High Court, they can just pretty much take the stuff off them, and so eventually you get paid that way. So we don't take deposits on that. And by the way, if that tenant stays for like 18 months, well, guess what? We just made 18 months times that £100. We just made an extra £1,800 in 18 months by not taking a deposit. It makes perfect sense to me. It makes perfect sense to other people who have been brought up that, no, you have to have a deposit because that's the way you do it. Like, that's like an alien concept to them. And that's okay. That's all right. Whatever works for you is whatever works for you. This works for me and it works very well and it increases our income. And it means we don't have to give deposits back. Sometimes at the end of a tenancy, do things need doing? Yeah, of course it does. Do we care about it? No, of course we don't. It's like just random things. We've got a maintenance budget assigned every single month. It's got a line on my spreadsheet because the entire portfolio, and we've got a decent sized maintenance budget. I mean, in the olden days, we try and get away with like £1,000 a month. And we kept failing at that because we have maintenance. It's a decent sized portfolio. So we had to like increase that significantly to make sure, but it's plugged into the figures now. So even with that maintenance budget at the end of the month, we're still profitable, which is great. And if we don't spend all that, then it just goes on to next month. And so we've got a bigger budget. So maybe we want to go put a boiler in, or maybe we want to repaint the outside of a house or whatever. We can spend a bit of money improving the portfolio. Works really well. So I'm not fussed about not taking a deposit. It's actually very profitable for us to do so. So right now, if you're taking deposits and if you're not putting those deposits into a tenancy deposit scheme of some kind, then that Section 21, even though you got it signed when a tenant's moved in, is invalidated. So you've got to make sure that you're doing that. It's actually another reason why we don't take deposits. One, it's a pain putting deposits in and taking them out. Everybody always argues about the deposit anyway, and then the landlords always lose at the deposit protection scheme because landlords are evil, don't you know? At least that's my perception. I'm sure other landlords have great experiences, but that's not my perception or experience. So this is the key. With the Section 21 is that some of these things are going to change. So let me tell you about some of these changes. So at the moment, if you want rid of a tenant and you're going to use a Section 21, it's the whole eviction process is so drawn out and it's expensive as well. And it's actually made worse because the local councils. So if a tenant gets a Section 21 and they go to the Citizens Advice Bureau, do you know what the Citizens Advice Bureau tells them, or housing benefit? Just ignore it. The landlord can't do anything. That's what they say. And actually they've been told not to say that anymore, which is good. It's a first step. But When I get a tenant that does that to me, boy, we're going all the way to county court judgments because you just wound me up. And here we are, we've got the councils, and I tell you who else does this? Shelter. I can't stand Shelter. I hate them. Shelter are responsible for homelessness. Now, I don't know if you recognise that, and I hope that's offensive to you in some way. And I hope you go, no, Shelter help people who are homeless. And whilst they might help a small proportion of people who are homeless, they cause homelessness. And let me explain why. When a tenant goes to Shelter and says, oh, my landlord's getting rid of me and I've not paid rent, and Shelter tell them, well, we'll just stay there. There's nothing he can do until he gets a repossession hearing. And even then, you can still stay there until the bailiffs turn up. We're just about to screw that tenant's life up because we're going to hit them with a county court judgment. And we're going to carry it all the way through to the High Court. Even if we've got no money, we carry it all the way through to the High Court because what they're doing is unethical. In staying on that property, not paying rent, it's theft in my view, okay? And here we are, we've got people like Shelter saying, yeah, it's fine, just steal from them. It's okay, it's not a problem. They can't do anything about it. Imagine that. Imagine a company has just stolen a TV from Dixon's. Does Dixon's exist anymore? PC World. I've just stolen a TV from PC World. And I go to Citizens Advice and I go, yeah, just keep it. They can't do anything. Let them take you to court. That's crazy. Why do they give such terrible, terrible advice? So tenants who are looking to be rehoused by the council, they were anyway, they were told to stay put until they're evicted. And they haven't got any other choice than to do what the council says, because if they ignore that advice and then they leave, the council then say, well, you've made yourself homeless because you left. And they lose their opportunity to get on priority housing. I mean, how crazy is that? And what's really interesting is, according to the National Landlord Association, on average, okay, a tenant who can't leave or won't leave and is evicted by bailiffs will cost the landlord £6,763. Do you know what? Sometimes it's cheaper to bung the tenant £2,000. Just say, I tell you what, you leave, here's £2,000. Sometimes it's cheaper to do that. Boy, I've never done that, by the way. I have to say, and I know lots of people suggest that that's a good way forward. And yeah, it solves the problem, okay, for just £2,000. But it annoys the living hell out of me. So I don't do that. So, but what we do is, if someone's not paying rent and they refuse to leave, then we issue Section 8, obviously. We issue eviction proceedings for non-payment of rent for more than 2 months in arrears. And then immediately, we issue a county court claim because the paperwork comes out, you know, pretty much immediately within a week or so. So now it's all official and now we're going to get a county court judgment. And often they leave. As soon as they get a CCJ notification, they leave. By the way, they also don't defend it. They just leave. And so guess what we do? We go all the way through and we give them a CCJ because they're more than 8 weeks in arrears. And by the way, if someone is 8 weeks in arrears and, you know, they're on the phone to me every week and they're they're desperately trying to find the money, and they're doing all this work. Do you know what? I haven't got an issue with that. And we don't count that forward for a county court judgment. We don't carry it through. But if they just completely ignore us, then we go do it, because it's not acceptable, and we don't want the next landlord to have to deal with that sort of fallout. So anyway, let me explain how the eviction process takes place on a Section 21. So basically, if a tenant decides not to leave by the date that's on their Section 21 notice, then basically the landlord, they've got to apply for what's called an accelerated possession order. And the word accelerated is a misnomer, because it makes it sound like it's really fast, and it's not really fast at all. So, like, as a landlord, of course, you're right at the bottom in terms of where judges see you. You're basically scum of the earth, effectively. So it can take about 6, possibly 8 weeks for a judge just to consider the application, and then it can give a tenant a further 6 weeks, or up to 6 weeks, to leave. That's crazy. That's like 3 months of not paying rent, of refusing to leave after you want your property back. I mean, that's crazy. Why is that allowed? I just don't get it. And if they still don't go, then the landlord then has to pay more money, or she has to pay more money. They've got to go back to court, and they've got to go get what's called a warrant of possession. And then, you know what? The tenants can ignore that as well. And then after that, you've got to go get bailiffs. And then, you know, you have to wait for bailiffs to go around, although you can pay a lot of money to go and get your own personal bailiffs. But the whole thing can take anywhere from, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, something like that. So, as a result of this, what happens is that a lot of landlords, they don't take people on housing benefit, because they take ages to evict. And so why would a landlord increase the risk of not getting paid? And the other side of housing benefit, of course, is that the housing benefit tenant, they get paid the money direct, and then it gets spent on beer, drugs, cigarettes, big screen TV. Not all tenants, obviously. A small percentage of people do this. But then you have to wait 8 weeks, and then you can issue a Section 8, and the councils, they go, well, it's up to you. If they're your client, you know, you just have to manage them. Nothing to do with us. And they keep paying the tenant. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And then what the tenant does is they leave, and then they go to the next landlord, and we do it again. And so, effectively, the councils are ensuring that tenants just don't pay rent. It's crazy. It's wound me up for years, and it's one of the reasons why we stopped taking tenants on DSS. There's many reasons we stopped taking tenants on DSS. Issues with Section 21s, getting possession back, not getting direct payment. The fact that when a tenant first moves in, it can take up to 12 weeks for you to get your first payment. It's just appalling. The way that, I mean, Leeds City Council is who my local council is. Leeds City Council is appalling in their way that they deal with tenants. Absolutely appalling. So, I mean, it's just one vicious circle. It causes lots and lots of problems. So let's talk about the changes to Section 21s then. Okay, so there's an MP called Bob Blackman. He's a Conservative MP for Harrow East, and he's got something coming out called a Homelessness Reduction Bill. It's got support from the other people on the benches, and it's got backing of community, local government, and that sort of thing. And it's got a fairly strong chance of going through. So what this means is that he's trying to make it so that the Housing Act is amended so that councils no longer, I mean, right now they don't give advice about just stay there until you've got no choice. They've been told to stop doing that, but I'm pretty sure some of them will. I'm sure the message hasn't filtered through. But now what they're trying to do is they're trying to get it so that a Section 21 notice is evidence that a tenant is now threatened with homelessness, and that the councils would be required to rehouse that tenant, or to certainly look at rehousing that tenant, subject to availability, of course, from the date that the Section 21 expires, rather than waiting for until the tenant's actually on the street. Because this is a problem. You get a mum with two kids, okay? They've been told not to do anything, just ignore everything. So now she's petrified of opening the door in case bailiffs are there. Absolutely, going through this. Imagine you being in this situation and you're being given this advice by shelter and the councils. Yeah, we know we've got bailiffs going around, just ignore them, banging on your door. That's just horrific. Why would you do that? And so they refuse to help this poor woman until the bailiffs are there and they literally throwing her out and her stuff out on the street. Why would you put a human being through that? Why is the councils and shelter suggesting that that's what happens? We don't want that as landlords. That's the last thing that we want. But we do also want a tenant that pays rent and looks after the place and that sort of thing as well. So it's got to be a balance. It can't all be one-sided, which is what it feels like sometimes right now. And I'm sure if you're a landlord and you've gone through this, getting rid of a tenant who you don't want in that property, it's heartbreaking sometimes. It takes so long, so frustrating. And then they get all aggressive and violent with you, and then they call the police on you, and then the police come round and tell you to move on. I mean, and it's like, that's my house. It's crazy. I've been there, and it's pretty horrific stuff. So this new act that's coming through then, it's not done yet. And so we've got to wait for this to come through. And it might actually never happen. It's got a strong chance of succeeding, but it might not actually happen. So the local government association, they've said that this bill is unworkable, saying that councils simply don't have access to enough social housing for all those on waiting lists. So it's like this vicious circle. If local councils haven't got enough social housing on waiting lists, right, they don't have to use social housing. They can use private housing. But the problem is, landlords like me and you, possibly, we're not taking on social tenants anymore because, one, we don't get paid, and, two, we can't evict. So if you sort that problem out, like, you know, now when you get a tenant on housing benefit, the money goes directly to the tenant so that they can spend it on booze and fags. It's crazy. Why would you do that? Why not pay the landlords direct so then the landlords are much more agreeable to going, yeah, we'll release up some of our housing stock, we'll put more social tenants on in the houses, that will free up more social housing. And therefore you'll have less homelessness. It's not rocket science, guys. Like, if you're working for a council right now, like, seriously, you need your brains looking at, like, seriously, this is not rocket science. This is not the most difficult thing to actually work out. But the fact that you've got this chip on your shoulder and you hate landlords, well, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for your single mums and the five kids or the two kids or the one kids? How's that working out for a 39-year-old guy who's been thrown out, found his wife having an affair, or he played his music too loud, he's now out on the streets? How's that working out for us guys? And by the way, we're going to have an increasing homelessness because year on year, I was reading this up to July. So in July, I think it was like 30%. I can't remember. It might be 15%, actually. Call it 15%. That's still a massive reduction. 15% less properties available than this time last year. And all of that is happening. One, because of Brexit. Fine. Two, because of stamp duty. Landlords stopped buying. And three, because of the interest, you're no longer going to be able to offset that. So landlords are leaving, which means that the availability of property is reducing. Which means that rents are going up. Yes, obviously, rents are going to go up. And then homelessness, because there's not enough housing stock. There simply won't be enough housing stock to manage all these people that need housing. This is going to be an absolute shambles. It's not rocket science. Do the councils care? No. Nope. They've got their little jobs on their £7.20 an hour. They're more than happy. Do the MPs care? Nope. They're MPs, they're changing lives in their view, but really all they're doing is claiming for dodgy stuff like duck houses on their expenses. Let's face it, you know, I have very low esteem of MPs. Selfish, you know, what can you say about MPs? Let's face it, what a terrible bunch of people that we've got that represent us. Represent our children for the future, represent our brothers and sisters, our parents going into homes. It's just horrific. What a horrible society we've created through the use of these governments and people who are in it for the money and for themselves. Oh, look at this for a damn rant. So look, pretty much done there. Section 21s, these are proposed changes. We're hoping that this goes through, obviously, because if so, then Section 20 will still have a place and still will be valid. I personally don't use any of these. I just go for Section 8 and I use the Court of Law for eviction process. And then I also ensure that the tenant knows that if we have to go for full possession on a property, they're going to pay for it. And we'll issue a county court claim judgment. We do it all the time. And a lot of tenants just think you threaten all the time until you actually issue paperwork and then they take action. Because so many people threaten but never follow through, right? Don't be one of those people. If a tenant moves out and has caused 150 quid of damage, you hit them with a county court judgment, take them to court. Go do it, because you've got a responsibility to the next landlord. And if you're doing a referencing properly and you find they've got J, that's the only reason you do a reference, by the way, is to see if they've got CCJs. Other than that, you want like bank statements, you want copies of passports, copy utility bills, so that they understand that you can find them if needs be and chase them for the money. All right, I hope that's useful for you, and I hope that sort of introduces you to some of these changes. We'll come back to this later on and let you know if this bill passes. Hopefully it will. It's getting a second reading on October 28th, 2016. So hopefully I'll remember, and I'll come back and give you an update. And in fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pop this in my calendar, and we'll do an update at the start of November just to keep you appraised to see what happened there. I hope that's useful for you. A lot of property stuff in there, a lot of good gems. My name's Dan Latter, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.